I hear too many people who sort of want to say, oh, maybe we ought to do an energy-only bill, or maybe we ought to do this or that or something less. I was on TV on Sunday with John Cornyn, and he said, well, maybe we ought to try and hit a single. And I reminded him, I said, look, when Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams and David Ortiz come to bat, they never thought about just hitting a single. They hit a home run. That's the American spirit. And that's what we ought to be doing. Now, let me tell you what happened. I want to remind you, a little trip backwards for a couple of minutes. In 1970, after those 20 million people came out, people understood that we had to take that to the ballot box. And so we started looking at who was the worst polluter in the Congress. And we targeted them. It became a formal program in 1996 in the LCV when the Dirty Dozen campaign started, but we officially had our Dirty Dozen back in 1970, and guess what? A whole bunch of them lost. And there is nothing like losing or being a survivor after you watch your colleagues lose to focus the intensity of the political mind. That's what happened. And so we passed the Clean Air Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, the Marine Mammal Protection Act, the Coastal Zone Management Act. We didn't even have an Environmental Protection Agency in the United States of America until after 1970, when guess who? Richard Nixon was kind enough to write it into law. And I'll tell you, folks, none of those things came out of the largesse of Washington. They came because you and the people of this country demanded it, and we made it happen. That's what we have to do today. Now, I'll tell you, I've been in the Congress 26 years now, and I've never seen it harder to build consensus around anything than it is today. And if you can't have a discussion about facts and respond to them, and everything is reduced to the lowest common denominator of electoral politics, we're all in trouble. Our democracy is in trouble. And tomorrow we're going to have an example of it, where we have a resolution being brought by Lisa Murkowski to prevent the United States Environmental Protection Agency from doing what the Roberts Supreme Court told them they ought to do. And this amendment is being brought to us in the guise of us being told the EPA shouldn't do it, the Congress should do it, when the very people selling that message are the people who are trying to prevent the Congress from doing it. This is absurd. This is the worst kind of bait and switch, this is 1925 Scopes trial all over again. That's what we're doing. We're living in a new know-nothing age, folks, where people are going to come up there and say, oh, I think we ought to do it. I think we ought to do it. But they're going to take away the lever that guarantees that we can get the job done to protect the American citizen. And then they're going to procrastinate and say, oh, well, we're going to do energy only. Well, we did energy only in 2005. We did energy only in 2007. Energy only will not send a price signal about the cost of carbon. It will not unleash billions of dollars of investment in the private venture capital sector. It will not do what we need to do to change behavior. It will just do some little feel-goody kinds of things that go off and make people think they've done something. We send $365 billion a year plus to Nigeria and Venezuela and Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Iran. $100 million a day goes to Iran. It's the Ahmadinejad tax that we're willing to pay instead of moving towards true energy independence. Now, the bill that we've put together in the United States Senate is not perfect. And yes, we're going to need to massage it. But I got to tell you, tomorrow, I believe we can push back against Lisa. I think what's shocking to me is every single Republican, I believe, is poised to vote for the Murkowski Amendment, plus 3, 4, 5 or so, plus Democrats. I hope not more. I pray not more. Now, the Murkowski Amendment is not going to become law. We need to stop it, but it's not going to become law. because the House isn't going to pass it and the President isn't going to sign it. But it's a sign of the challenge that we face in these next weeks to get common sense on the table. MIT and Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy and the Heinz Center joined together to put together an analysis of all of the proposals that are on the table today globally to deal with climate change. There are only 17 countries that have made a proposal. But that's okay in the sense that there are only about 17 to 20 major emitters. The United States and China, two of us, equal over 50% of all the global climate change emissions. So 17 could do a pretty big deal about it if they wanted to. But here's what that analysis showed. If you take the best proposal of every single one of those entities and it is implemented in full starting today, going out to 2050, at 2050, we will be at about 600 to 900 parts per million of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and we will have raised our temperature of the Earth somewhere between 6 to 9 degrees centigrade. That's where we are. So nothing that anybody's doing is going to do what the science tells us we ought to do. Even as we see people killing each other in the Sudan because of desertification, and they have to go find wells and water, and you know how tribalism is in that part of the world, you don't go to somebody else's well without a fight, and that's what's happening. Or you go to the Arctic, where we've seen the ice melting, or you can go right here in America, where the Audubon Society reports a 100-mile-wide swath of land that no longer grows the kinds of things that American families used to grow. Or you can see the droughts and the intent. I mean, you just run the list, folks. It's out there. It's science. It's fact. It's real, and it's happening now. That's why we have to do something, but there's another reason why we have to do something. The market that we're looking at in energy is a $6 trillion market with 6 billion potential users. The market that drove America's great increase of wealth in the 1990s was a $1 trillion market with 1 billion users, and we created 23 million jobs around it. And everybody in America got richer. Every sector of our economy made money. But we're missing out on this market right now because we have people who just want to put their head in the sand. China's not missing out. We invented wind and wind technology, and we invented solar technology in the laboratories of this country in the 1950s, 60s, 70s. And now it's all being developed in China and India and Germany and other countries, not here. We don't have one company in the top 10 solar producers of the world. Shame on us. We're looking at an opportunity here to kick America's economy into gear and improve America's health. The biggest single cause of children going to the hospital in the summertime is asthma induced by environmental air quality. And it costs us a lot of money. We could reduce that. We could reduce the pollution that goes into our air and our water. The fish, the mercury, the levels are stunning. I went and got tested recently for mercury. I'm from Massachusetts. We eat a lot of fish. I found I'm 4 or 5 times heavy metal over what the EPA sells as the appropriate level. Go do it one day and you'll be shocked. We need to respond to these realities. And I'll tell you, we just got a report back from the Peterson Economic Institute, which told us that our legislation will produce 200,000 jobs a year for the next 10 years. It will wind up with a net plus to the American consumer in terms of energy expenses of $35 plus back in the pocket over the next 20 years. And it winds up reducing our emissions by the level that we target, the 17% by 2020 and the 80% by 2050. We get all of that done without raising energy costs in the country. We've put together an unprecedented coalition. Now, some people don't like every component of the bill. I've had to move to a zone of discomfort in some parts of it. But we've put together a coalition where, even under Waxman-Markey, we're going to build 263 nuclear plants in America over the next 50 years. That's what the EPA tells us it analyzes out as. So we have a nuclear component in here because at least it's emissions-free. And Steve Chu and people tell us it can be safe and modular, and for the next 50 years we have adequate storage capacity while we transition to alternatives, whatever it's going to be, hydrogen, fuel cell, wind, solar, I don't know. But I know that somebody in America somehow, somewhere, whether it's Carnegie Mellon or MIT or Caltech or somewhere, is going to do exactly what Bill Gates did or what Sergey Brin and Larry Page did. Whether they have to leave college to do it or not, I don't know. But there are going to be 5 or 10 or 15 Google equivalents created in the energy sector if we will get in gear and embrace these possibilities. That's the future. I close by telling you this. We have a coalition which includes the faith-based community, people representing hundreds of millions of evangelicals, 100 million plus, about 100, 125 million evangelicals, support this because of creation responsibility and moral responsibility. We have admirals and generals, and you saw those vets up there, the vote vets who are running around the country working their hearts out for this because they saw the connection firsthand in Iraq and in Afghanistan to oil and to politics and war. And we have admirals and generals warning us of the threat multiplier effect of global climate change, which will drag American troops into some conflict somewhere in the world, or just to protect those 200 million climate refugees. We have the support of environmental community, I'm happy to say, who see the virtue of what we've done here, where we get a 17% reduction by 2020 and an 80% reduction by 2050. The utilities have signed off on that. The oil companies have signed off on that. The gas folks have signed off on that. Big business, Jeff Immelt, General Electric, Dow Corning, DuPont, American Electric Power, Florida Power Light, Cisco Systems, you name them. They want to do this because they want certainty in the marketplace. They want a pricing of carbon, and they believe they can go out and compete in the rest of the world and win. So what's the resistance? If the very people who usually oppose you in these things and spend money against you, what are we waiting for? Because we got some people who are frightened, worried about what's happening at home. I'll tell you, my friends, I don't know if we can win. We don't have the 60 votes today. We have more than 50, though. And I know this. When Nancy Pelosi took that bill to the floor in the House of Representatives, they were 30 votes missing in terms of getting there. When we brought health care to the floor of the United States Senate earlier this year, we were 10 votes off or more in the Senate. And when we brought financial regulatory reform to the floor a few weeks ago, we were 10 or 15 votes short. So we can achieve this if you all will remember in these next days what we did in 1970 and beyond and what the legacy of this organization is. We need to go out. You know, we got a lot of people up there who keep saying, oh, drill, baby, drill, still, notwithstanding what's happened in the Gulf. Well, I say we got to go out and push, baby, push, and win, baby, win, and get the message out there. We can win this battle. We have to win it for future generations, and that's what LCV is going to have as its greatest legacy. Thank you, and God bless.